It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Rockets head coaching candidacy update, a three-team trade of my own concoction, and then, of course, your fan trades on another episode of Locked on Rockets, a Trade Target Tuesday episode of Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked on Rockets, and also the blog at Clutch City CR. So let's kick things off, and just as far as this Rockets head coaching search goes, there's been a lot of different desires, directions, and right now we're sitting on a pool of candidates, and there's a few different kind of directions that it seems the franchise would go in. But right now, the current list of Houston candidates is thought to be Clippers assistants Ty Lue and Sam Cassell, the former Brooklyn Nets head coach Kenny Atkinson, the Dallas lead assistant Steven Silas, Denver assistant Wes Unseld Jr., Minnesota's assistant David Vanderpool, and former NBA head coach and Houston sweetheart Jeff Van Gundy, who led the team from 2003 to 2007. So right now, as it stands with that list of names, to me, there's some Daryl Morey selections in that list, and then there's some Tillman Fertitta selections in that list. And what I mean by that is there's guys that are clear-cut guys who would fit the mold of what the Rockets really want to do and what they've done under Mike D'Antoni the last 4 years. And then there's a couple guys who kind of, it's not that they go against what they've been doing with Daryl Morey and MDA these last few years, but they don't have that exact same background. They're not clones of Mike D'Antoni, essentially, and they might go kind of against the grain. And in a way, they've also got a kind of this, they've got a nostalgia tie to the franchise. And there's one name that I need to throw in here who's actually a dark horse candidate who has recently, as the news broken by Kelly Eco of The Athletic has been reported, is Rockets' current assistant John Lucas is also actually in the hunt for the Rockets' head coaching position. He's got strong ties with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and he really kind of made himself known not just within the Rockets organization, but across the entire NBA landscape with his, powerful words concerning the Jacob Blake shooting in the bubble when the players had their meeting. They were discussing how they wanted to proceed, whether they wanted to proceed with the bubble or if they just wanted to, to leave and to focus on, the issues of social justice in this country. So some powerful words from John Lucas, a guy who's very respected around the league and especially right here in the Rockets organization as the lead, the head of player development for the last 4 years under Mike D'Antoni. So with that list of guys, to me, there's two guys that stand out as kind of the Tillman selections and have, they've got some nostalgia factor and some notoriety behind their names. And then there's guys who, to me, are more the Daryl Morey style picks. And so to me, the two guys that stand out as far as being Tillman picks are Sam Cassell and Jeff Van Gundy. Sam Cassell, for obvious reasons, he was on the championship teams. He is a member of the original Clutch City. He's got the name recognition. Fans love him. That would be kind of the nostalgia hire. And then Jeff Van Gundy, makes some sense as kind of that big name splash. His name is tied to rumors every single summer about coming back and coaching. And while originally Jeff was an interesting option for me because the Rockets' issues will always be defensively. The floor of a team with James Harden and Russell Westbrook is at least like a top five, maybe at worst top seven offense. And it's shown now to win in the NBA, you need a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. You need both. You cannot get by with just being the best offense in the league and then a middle of the pack defense. It doesn't work out that way, because in the playoffs, when the game slows down, when you're up against those really elite defensive teams that always make it to the playoffs, your offense is going to be bogged down a little bit. We saw that this past season with the Rockets against the number one rated defensive team in the league, in the Lakers. And it's all she wrote. That's how it played out. So I thought Jeff Van Gundy would be interesting because he could be a guy who would really come in, and maybe if he worked in tandem with a lead assistant who was more offensive-minded or really sat down with the front office, that he could kind of adopt a more modern style of offensive basketball and kind of just continue to let the offensive system be the way that it has been the last few years and really focus in on the defensive side of things. But to me, I've kind of shied away from the Jeff Van Gundy pick a little bit, and I think that I've moved in favor, I've said it multiple times, of the Sam Cassell choice. But the other choices on that list are the more Daryl Morey type guys, right? Kenny Atkinson, Stephen Silas, Wes Unsled, they're the Daryl Morey style picks who would, you know, really adopt the Rockets' analytical approach to the game. And that's the pick that I'm a little worried about, because we saw just the other night, we saw in game three of Lakers Heat, Jimmy Butler dominating the game, not shooting a single three-pointer, but dominating the game from the mid-range and at the rim. And it's because in the playoffs, when the good defensive teams take away the three ball, when they take away your bread and butter, when they take away spots on the court that you rely on or that you have relied on throughout the entire regular season, you have to be willing to adapt. You have to be willing to change your play style. And bringing in another coach who is going to be essentially a Mike D'Antoni clone is not what I think is going to get them over the hump in the playoffs. Because if they face the Lakers again next year, and if the Lakers do the exact same thing defensively that they did, where they take away the Rockets' inherent advantage of shooting volume threes, and they're down to averaging 30-ish threes a game instead of 50-ish threes a game, then we're going to see the exact same result, because the Lakers are going to be able to consistently punish you inside and using the mid-range. And the Rockets aren't going to be able to outmath them next year if it's the same offensive philosophy, offensive approach. So that's where I stand. I'd like a coach that, will actually bring some variance to the team, will change things up a little bit, and is willing to be flexible. And so I'm a little wary of those Daryl Morey picks. And, this is one of the one times where I hope that Tillman Fertitta kind of dips his hand in and says, no, I want one of these two guys, because I think ultimately it'll work out better than the other guy. But here's the thing is, Daryl Morey's also been known for picking the assistants that go along with the head coaching hire. So that's kind of different than organizations around the league. Usually the head coach is brought in and then they have a say in who they bring in as their assistant coaches. And I do think that if one of those two names are hired, Sam Cassell or Ty Lue or Jeff Van Gundy, who Ty Lue is meeting with the Rockets this week sometime, so he'll have his sit-down meeting with the Rockets, and so that's still a possibility there as well. But one of those guys with a lead assistant, a Kenny Atkinson or a Stephen Silas type guy, bringing in one of those analytical guys to be the lead assistant would be a great idea to me. I think that would be where you could strike some balance, where rather than having the lead guy be the exact same, a carbon copy of the last guy in Mike D'Antoni, you bring in a guy who's a little bit more flexible, maybe a little bit more defensive minded, somebody who can change things up a bit, but then you still have your lead assistant be that same guy who can still really reinforce Rockets basketball the way that they want to play, with the threes, layups, dunks, free throws, and three-pointers. I think I said threes at the front there, which is a telltale sign that I should wrap up this segment. So coming up here in just a moment, we'll hit on our actual trade target Tuesday news, a concoction of my own making, a three-team trade, as well as your trades, coming up in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas rockauto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they are always reliably low. They always offer the lowest possible prices rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, kind of like what airlines do. Look, rockauto.com is for everybody, and they don't require a membership or like account login. You just go there, buy the parts you need, check out, and you are good to go. Best of all, they are a family business, and rockauto.com has been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Gotta tell you really quick how I make it through my day with Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. They're easy to take with you in these little 1.5 ounce packages. You could throw it in your briefcase for the most laser-focused presentation ever, put it in your golf bag to power through your back nine, or just throw it in your pocket just to get you through your regular, you know, everyday life. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's basically 5-hour energy without that same like crashing feeling that you get. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a Monster, but with a third of the caffeine and better results. They've got 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. The peanut butter honey is my absolute favorite. And you can check it out. Just visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your very next order. So remember, that's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you'd like to call into the show, leave me a message that I can relay back here on the show, or just a discussion point that you'd like to see me touch base on, call in 713-487-5457. The number of messages that I've gotten already have been incredible. I listen to every single one of those, and coming up, we'll actually have one of those here shortly to discuss a potential trade scenario in the third segment. So if you want to drop a message, go ahead and knock that out. Now, for this segment, before I get into my three-team trade concoction, I did throw it out there that I was, you know, kind of jokingly suggesting Buddy Hield to the Rockets, but, you know, the style of player that Buddy Hield is would fit in with the Rocket system incredibly, but just not at a $25 million price tag, which is basically exactly what he makes. And before we do this, this hypothetical three-team trade scenario, because I really feel strongly about this one, I'm going to drop in a quick line from the host of Locked On Kings, Matt George, and kind of him discussing why it makes sense for the Kings to move on from Buddy Hield. So we're going to use that right now.
Why did the Sacramento Kings offer Buddy that contract, $88 million guaranteed contract with the opportunity to make upwards of $100 million with incentives added on to the $88 million deal almost a year ago? Why did they make that move? Well, the easy answer is because Buddy Hield is an elite shooter in the NBA, and like I said earlier, he is worth that money. Buddy Hield earned that money by his play. Specifically, Buddy Hield shot himself to that contract by shooting nearly 50% in catch-and-shoot situations and over 40% overall from the three-point line. Again, Buddy Hield deserved that money. Do the Sacramento Kings regret giving Buddy Hield that money? Probably. Does Vlade Divac, who of course is no longer the general manager of the Sacramento Kings, does he regret giving Buddy Hield that money? Probably. And it's not because Buddy Hield's not worth that money, it's because of everything that has happened since Buddy got that money. Buddy Hield forgot what got him paid. It wasn't the fact that he is this sensational superstar player that is going to put the Kings on his back and lead them to the championship. That guy here is De'Aaron Fox, and Buddy Hield is aware of that. But Buddy Hield doesn't think he's second fiddle. Buddy Hield thinks he is guy number 1B, and De'Aaron is guy number 1A. And Buddy has said it from the very beginning. He wants to be paid like he is part of the core. He is part of the future of the Sacramento Kings. And you know what? He was, and in a way, he might still be. But Buddy Hield is not De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield is not the leader on this Kings team. Buddy Hield is a complimentary player who just so happened to lead the Kings in scoring and come up with some big moments on the perimeter for two reasons. One, because he's further along in his development than De'Aaron Fox, at least he was at that time. And two, because he was sharing the floor with De'Aaron Fox, who was drawing so much attention away from himself that he could get open opportunities. Catch and shoot three-pointers were the bread and butter of Buddy Hield's game. And for some reason, a lot of that element of his game disappeared this season after he got paid. And I'm going to split that down the middle to blame 50-50. 50% of that is on Buddy Hield for wanting to be his hero and idol Kobe Bryant, and 50% of that is on Luke Walton, the Sacramento Kings, for going away from what made Buddy Hield so successful to begin with. Putting him on the perimeter, allowing him to just hover back and forth, go to the corner, go to the wing, go up top, regardless, spread the floor, let De'Aaron Fox either get the ball to you in transition or kick it out to you with inside-out play. That's what worked.
Okay, so we've got our backstory on Buddy Hield and exactly kind of what's going on over there. Now, to me, the way that this three-team trade kind of popped into my mind is, so I'll go ahead and throw it out there. It does also involve the Pacers, and it's a Miles Turner center trade, which we've talked about this before, but the issue is they've been one-on-one trades between the Pacers and the Rockets. And while I do still think that a package of Eric Gordon and Daniel House Jr. and maybe throwing in a second-round draft pick is a pretty good snag for Miles Turner in the sense that you're getting two starters back for the price of one, and or in Indiana's case, potentially a sixth man of the year candidate in Eric Gordon, a guy who, yes, Eric Gordon did have a bit of a down year, but overall, Eric is a guy who provides you a lot. He gives you a lot of production. He's not going to give you, all-star caliber numbers, but he, on any given night, he can be a guy who can go off, and he gives you a guy who can get to the rim, who can shoot. He does a little bit of everything offensively. He's a plus defender, and then Daniel House Jr. is really the diamond in that trade for the Pacers, a great starting wing on a steal of a contract, and while I would hate to see Daniel House go, I do think that the Rockets desperately need a stretch five that can also anchor the defense perfectly, and that is essentially Miles Turner. That's what you're getting with Miles Turner. You're getting some youth. You're getting somebody who can play above the rim, who can space the floor, and would be an excellent complementary piece to both James Harden and Russell Westbrook, because he gives James Harden another guy who can be a rim runner, and he also gives a pick and pop threat for James or for Russell Westbrook. It's just, it's a match made in heaven. It really is. So I'm hell-bent on the idea of getting Miles Turner to the Rockets, and looking at this trade, I do think it makes sense for all three parties involved. So I've got Eric Gordon and Daniel House Jr. going to the Kings, I've got Buddy Hield going to the Pacers, and I've got Miles Turner coming to the Rockets. And after what we just heard from Matt George with Locked On Kings and what he discussed with Buddy Hield and where he found his success, specifically the idea that he found his success as a catch-and-shoot player running kind of that inside-outside game, it makes a lot of sense that he would be able to flourish in a Pacers offense that prioritizes getting the ball down low to Sabonis. So, one, the Pacers would be able to really jumpstart their ability to jump into this new age version of basketball because they were number one in the league in post-ups per game and 30th in the league in threes per game. So they are playing old school 90s basketball, and that is not the way that you're going to play winning basketball in today's NBA. They got swept in the first round. They got decimated by the Miami Heat. They need a culture shift. And depending on who they bring in as the head coach, which I'm still leaning that it makes sense that they would bring in Mike D'Antoni. If they bring in Mike D'Antoni, they're not going to want to run two bigs. They're not going to want to run Miles Turner and Sabonis side by side because you're not going to be able to play to the speed that Mike D'Antoni wants to play at with that lineup. And so you send off Miles Turner, who's soured a bit on the Pacers organization. So you send out Miles Turner, who's been having some issues with the Pacers organization. Sabonis is really their golden child. And you bring in a guy like Buddy Hield, who fits exactly with what you want to do because you can get the ball inside to Sabonis. You can work it inside a little bit and then kick it out. And you've got shooters. You've got four shooters surrounding Sabonis. And if you put Buddy Hield in a position where he doesn't have to worry about creating his own shot, where all he has to do is wait for a kick out from Sabonis down low, and he gets wide open three-pointers all day, he is going to flourish. And for a Pacers team, because this has been one of my talking points as well regarding the Pacers, is they're a team that's about to be capped out to all hell. And it also depends on kind of what they want to do with Victor Oladipo, but Buddy Hield gives them a guy who is locked down for the next 4 years, who would be locked down with the rest of their core for the foreseeable future. And they could then flip Victor Oladipo either you know, in a side-by-side trade this offseason or later on at the trade deadline, and they could flip Victor Oladipo for some added depth to their bench, for some more size if they need, you know, a backup big behind Sabonis, something along those lines. I saw a rumored trade earlier this week that you know, the New York Knicks might be willing to take a flyer on Oladipo since he's only got 1 year left on his contract, and some trade centered around, I think it was Julius Randle and Frank Ntilikina and like a couple first-round picks or something like that for Victor Oladipo. If you're the Pacers, I don't know why you wouldn't jump at that trade, because Victor Oladipo has said that he's planning to leave the organization. He doesn't plan on re-signing there. So you either go one more year with Victor Oladipo and let him walk for nothing, or you flip him for a couple assets and a couple players who can be very beneficial off the bench and really bolster your entire lineup and give you a really strong roster that's 10 to 12 players deep. And so the last element to talk about from this trade, right, is from the Kings' perspective. Now, from the Kings' perspective, you get Eric Gordon, a guy who very much knows his role as the, you know, the third or fourth best player on a team. He's kind of that veteran presence to throw into a mix of youth in the Kings organization. And then you also got Daniel House Jr. You know, Daniel House Jr. is a starting quality wing in this league. And like I said earlier, I would hate to lose Daniel House Jr. because he fits so well next to James Harden and Russell Westbrook. But at the same time, if you upgrade the starting lineup and you're able to roll out a starting lineup of Harden, Russ, Covington, Tucker, and Miles Turner, yes, it would be ideal. It'd be nice to be able to move PJ Tucker to the bench a little bit and maybe kind of, you know, reduce his usage over these next, you know, this next season as he's getting older and, you know, a bit more long in the tooth. But at the same time, that starting lineup to me is a really, really good starting lineup. That is a hell of a defensive starting lineup, and a team that can very easily be both top 10 defensively and top 10 offensively, depending on who they bring in as the head coach and kind of what schemes they decide to implement. But the Kings really get away with, you know, they swap out one of their current starters for a wing who's a little bit bigger, a little bit more size. Again, a guy who knows his role, somebody who's not going to get in the way of De'Aaron Fox being the franchise guy, somebody who can grow alongside him, and who's the same age as Buddy Hield. So Buddy Hield, 27 years old, Daniel House, 27 years old. So it's not like they're getting older. Yes, they're getting older with Eric Gordon, but at the same time, they're getting back two players for the price of one. They're saving substantially, you know, as far as their team salary. They're cutting off about almost $5 million a year with this trade. And with Eric Gordon, again, they get that veteran presence. They get somebody who knows their role, who is able to slot in either as a starter or somebody who's willing to come off the bench and be a productive member of a team that really wants to make a push and really wants to make it to the playoffs with this young up-and-coming roster that they have. So I think that, and we've talked about Miles Turner at length and what he gives to this Rockets team, what he would provide to this Rockets team. And so I think this is a win across the board for all three teams, legitimately. And that is pretty hard to find in a three-team or in some of those four-team trade scenarios where, you know, usually there's one team that's losing out pretty significantly. And I don't think that any of these three teams are losing out. I think it's pretty fair across the entire board. So coming up, let's dive in. We're going to dive straight into the fan trade segment of this podcast. So sit tight. We'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Diving into your trade suggestions as we've got a couple of them lined up here to wrap up today's show. So the first of which comes by way of the review section on the podcast on Apple Podcasts, and it is written by... Okay, I highly doubt it was written by Bismack Biyombo, but that's what it says in the name slot. So that's what we're going with. Anyways, this trade takes place under the assumption that Eric Gordon is traded for anyone other than a center. So Houston receives Mo Bamba plus Al-Farouq Aminu. The Magic receive Daniel House plus Austin Rivers via sign-and-trade or opt-in-and-trade plus Chris Clemens and potentially a second-round draft pick. The rationale being Houston gets a young player that can rimroll and defend the rim, essentially dollar store Clint Capella, that will play primarily with Harden but may be able to play with Russ depending on how his shot progresses. It will also allow them to play small ball with PJ and Jeff Green during some of Russ's minutes and the playoffs. Orlando gets a great role player in Daniel House to come off the bench as their sixth man, and they bring Austin home to start or be a backup depending on how many of their guards re-sign, and they also get the GOAT, Chris Clemens. So on the surface, I'm interested in this trade because Mo Bamba strikes me as a guy who is extremely like low risk, high reward, especially with that specific trade package, because he's a guy who has largely underachieved in his NBA career to this point. And maybe that's because he hasn't really had a lot of, I guess, incentive to do so with the Magic, who are kind of stuck as a middling team over there in the East. They've consistently been, you know, the seventh or eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. And let's face it, you know, those bottom tier, those bottom seeded teams in the East aren't really accomplishing anything. They're basically, you know, running the treadmill of mediocrity. So maybe coming to Houston and having a, you know, guys like James Harden and Russell Westbrook being surrounded by that level of talent and desire to win, being put in a win now situation, maybe lights a fire under him, especially a guy like Russ, you know, who as an emotional leader can get a lot out of his teammates, you know, really inspires them to play their hardest. And so that would be an interesting possibility there. Now, Al-Farouq Aminu is also interesting because he doesn't strike me necessarily as a bad player. He had a bit of a down year, played 18 games, had a knee injury, suffered a torn meniscus, and had surgery to repair that. So it just kind of depends on how he looks coming back. But in his three seasons prior with the Portland Trailblazers, you know, some up and down years shooting, actually four seasons prior, we'll go back to 2015. So he had he had 1 year, 36% from behind the arc, then 33%, then almost 37%. And then down to 34% in 2018. And then this past season, he had a really down year, just 25% from behind the arc before going down to injury. But he's a guy who gives you some size, some length, some speed, depending on how he comes back from that meniscus tear. That's going to be the issue, because he's a guy who's a bit older at 30 years of age. But Mo Bamba gives you some youth, a guy who, again, depending on how his three-point shot develops, I mean, just this past season, he shot 34, almost 35% from behind the arc. So he's a guy who can give you a little bit of spacing, some size defensively, but for me, it's not an issue of talent with him. It's an issue of motivation. And is he a guy who can actually be a difference maker? Does he care enough to be a difference maker? But that would be an interesting snag for the Rockets. Now, they do lose in that scenario. They would lose their starting three in Daniel House Jr., and they're still sitting on Eric Gordon to, like proposed in the trade scenario, to trade Eric Gordon for a starting caliber center. Now, I don't know where, you know, in some of these, like in the trade scenario earlier in the pod, talking about Miles Turner, you know, you would have to use Daniel House Jr. as a sweetener in that trade, you know, because let's face it, Eric Gordon's value is probably at its lowest that it's been during his Houston tenure, because he just had a really down year. So I don't know if Eric Gordon alone can snag you a starting center. You might have to make the, have to take the dive and just use the taxpayer MLE at that point to bring in an Aaron Baines type or somebody along those lines to shore up the starting center spot, unless you want to just give that chance to Mo Bamba and just say, all right, here, you're our starting center now, because you're losing a starter. Or you start Eric Gordon and you just go with the lack of size in the starting lineup, and you go with you run it back small ball and just bring Mo Bamba off the bench. But that's an interesting trade. I kind of like it in theory. I feel like for both teams, it makes some sense. You know, the Magic aren't getting much out of Mo Bamba right now, and for them, the future is Jonathan Isaac. You know, Jonathan Isaac is the guy that they want to eventually hand the keys to down the line. And having, you know, Mo Bamba, you know, in there kind of clogging things up isn't going to do well. They've made it apparent that Nikola Vucevic as well, you know, is kind of on the trading block. I don't really see the Magic saying no to that deal. I think they're getting probably the better end of that deal, honestly. But that's an interesting trade. I like it. Thanks for suggesting it, Mr. Bismack Biyombo, because that's definitely not your name. But anyways, going into our next trade, we actually have a voicemail lined up. So we'll dive right into that right now.
Hey, Jackson, my name is Ram. I'm a big fan of the show. So I wanted to see what you thought of a blockbuster trade to the Los Angeles Clippers for Paul George. So we all know that Daryl Morey loves his superstar trades, and Paul George is probably at the lowest value he's been at in his entire career. But he's coming off a year where he was top three in MVP voting and Defensive Player of the Year, playing next to Russell Westbrook. So that chemistry is already there. So I was thinking Eric Gordon, Robert Covington, and Austin Rivers for Paul George. So with Eric Gordon, He's another high-usage guard that just doesn't fit next to Russ and Harden, considering how much they need the ball in their hand and just the relative size of this team. I think Paul George is a much cleaner fit. He shot very good corner three-point percentage this year. I believe he shot about 41% from three, and he's a better on-ball defender than Robert Covington. And Robert Covington and Paul George both play that similar passing lanes, help defense type of role. So that would be replicated. We would lose the weak side shot blocking, but I think we'll make up for that when we trade for a center. So I think it's pretty even there. And then with Austin, I would much rather have Ben McLemore coming off the bench playing alongside Russ and Harden just for the spot of three-point shooting. I don't really think Austin is getting the ball enough in his hands to be effective. So that's my first trade option. And my second one is with the Milwaukee Bucks for Brook Lopez. So Brook Lopez is a pretty decent three-point shooter, but he proved to be a great rim protector this year. He's a decent rebounder. He's an option in the post when you have nothing else going. And I believe we could get him for Eric Gordon and Daniel House. And I would throw in Ersan Ilyasova also on the Bucks side. He's not really known for his defense, but he can take a charge, and he's a decent shooter. And honestly, we just need more size on this team. And I would feel much more comfortable going up against the Los Angeles Lakers, the Sixers of the world, with Brook Lopez on our team. And so, yeah, that's it. Let me know what you think on the show. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Ram. I appreciate you dropping those trade suggestions. So let's go ahead and talk about that first one. So I think that with any blockbuster trade surrounding a star player, it's really, really difficult to gauge value. I think it's a little bit easier when you're trying to gauge the value of, you know, okay, we're trading, you know, these couple role players for these role players, or, you know, this team has a need here and this team has a need here, but they've got a glut of guards and this team has a glut of bigs. So we're going to, you know, do a little switcheroo and then both teams walk away happy. It's easier in trades like that, but with a star player like Paul George, even coming off of a disappointing playoff performance where he was very much pandemic P for chunks of that playoff run, it's still hard to gauge because, one, do I think the Clippers could get a better package offer for Paul George than what you've pieced together, Eric Gordon, Austin Rivers, and Robert Covington? Maybe. It really depends. You know, it depends on what other teams out there think that Paul George would push them over the top and give them a legitimate shot at the title. And it also depends, here's the thing, is it depends on what's going on inside the Clippers organization, right? Things that, you know, us as media, as fans, we will never be privy to the inner workings of organizations, even inner workings of the Houston Rockets. You know, we won't know what goes on behind closed doors about, you know, which players are going to stay, which players are going to go, what the thought process is. All we can do is speculate. And if I'm looking at this trade from a Clippers perspective, I don't think this moves the needle for the Clippers. You know, I think that it's very clear that they are probably going to run it back one more year with Kawhi and PG and a new coach and, you know, hope that they can replicate the same level of regular season success, but that they won't falter in the playoffs. Because the Clippers were the favorites for much of the regular season, even over the Lakers, even over the Bucks. People had the Clippers pegged as the most dangerous team in the league, and for good reason. They looked so elite at times, and they faced a season with a lot of injuries, a lot of struggle, to where they really couldn't get things clicking until just before the hiatus and then inside the bubble. So looking at this trade, I don't think that the Clippers say yes. I don't even think that they're fielding trade offers for Paul George, honestly, because that duo of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, as well as the rest of the team that they have around them, is really solid. They've got a lot of depth. I think that for the Clippers, they're going to look to move one of Lou Williams or Montrezl Harrell before they even think about moving Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, because they've got one more year to run it back with those two guys, and then that's it, because they can opt out after that. So if things are looking very bleak, if it's looking like they're not going to be able to make something happen in Clipperland, then both of those guys can walk at the end of next season. And so I really don't see the Clippers making a move this offseason. I think they're going to start the season, see how things go. And if it's looking really bleak for them, then they could look to trade one of, if not both, George and Leonard at the trade deadline to recoup some value if it looks like they're going to walk that offseason because the Clippers aren't living up to expectations. So that's for the first trade. Now, that second trade, you know, regarding Brook Lopez, I agree with the sentiment that the Rockets need some more size. I firmly believe that they'll bring in at least a big to use in spot minutes throughout the regular season, because to me, you cannot run small ball over the course of an entire 82-game season, 48 minutes a night. It's just too much of an intensive play style. It's not meant to be used for the entirety of a game. It's meant to be used in spurts to give you an advantage over your opponent in situational moments throughout the game, you know, in the closing minutes or closing out a half or things like that, similar to how the Golden State Warriors use small ball, or how the Rockets before trading Clint Capela used small ball in spurts throughout the course of a game. That way they weren't as just exhausted by the end of a game, because it is a very demanding, taxing style of basketball to play. So I agree that they need size. I don't think Brook Lopez is an option, though. I don't think Brook Lopez is going to be a guy that is available on the trade market, because he is not a centerpiece of what that Milwaukee team does. But he anchors their defense, as you said, and he also spaces the floor for Giannis to be able to do what he does offensively. And for them, if they even remotely think about moving Brook Lopez, it's got to be for somebody who is going to provide them that same level of offensive spacing, as well as being a bit of a defensive anchor. And there just isn't a guy out there on the market that I think Milwaukee can get or could then flip those parts from the Rockets into. It just doesn't make sense from a Milwaukee standpoint. Circling back to the Paul George one, though, it would be a really interesting lineup, right? Being able to roll out three stars in Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Paul George, and have Paul George be option 2B alongside Russ, you know, be able to kind of spot up, not have to worry about creating his own shot as much, because he'd have two elite shot creators there for him in James Harden and Russell Westbrook, as opposed to Kawhi Leonard, where, you know, Kawhi's not an elite playmaker per se. He can playmake a little bit, but he's not going to be an elite playmaker in the sense that James Harden or Russell Westbrook are. So yeah, it's interesting to think about it, but I think you have to kind of root yourself a little bit more in reality and put yourself in the Clippers' shoes and say, okay, does trading Paul George for these three players give us an increased chance at the title? Probably not. But I do appreciate the trade suggestion nonetheless. So I think that's going to be where we wrap things up for today's episode. So as always, thank you so much for tuning in. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.